This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to World the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we are just in the single digits of games left in the regular season. It is insane to think that there are just 9 games left, and then the playoffs will be starting. But joining me, as always, as we are awaiting a score to happen in this Detroit-Washington game tonight, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm feeling good. Doing a little bit better than Braden Holtby and Yevgeny Kuznetsov right now. Those two guys are not even on the bench. They're in the press box. They're hurting a little bit. I'm hearing that neither injury is a big deal, but because the Caps are number one in their division and because there are so few games left in the regular season, they're thinking it's best to just kind of sit both guys as a precaution. What have you heard?
Well, after speaking with the team personally,
sure.
I don't know. My guess is I realize there are only 9 games left. That's a little frightening, and I haven't been to one yet. So that's a bit strange.
You best get on it.
I know. Well, I'm going to be, you know, it's not, I don't know if it's going to happen before the end of the season. You know I'm not going to a playoff game because I'm bad luck. Oh, man, this will be the first time in a long time that I haven't been to a game. That's crazy. But yeah, 9 games left. It makes complete sense to rest a couple of guys. The only concern there is, though, are you going to lose your chance to win the division? But if you have a pretty good shot at making the playoffs, maybe you wait a little longer. I think at this point, you rest them another game. But if they're ready to come back, you bring them back. And then once you've won the division, if you can do that before the end of the season, then you give them a game or two off.
Now, right now, I mean, Yevgeny Kuznetsov being out, I mean, that does suck. But really, the focus everyone is really looking at is Braden Holtby and Philip Grubauer. Grubauer kind of took the majority of the games last week. Holtby came back for what was he was back for one of those games, right?
He played Dallas, I believe.
Yeah. So is it good?
Game out of town, but yeah, I think believe he played against Dallas.
And that's where he got tweaked a little bit. Is it anything to worry about with, I mean, I'm not worried about the injury, but I am worried about Braden Holtby kind of being out of his normal realm this close to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, I know we were worried about what he was doing, you know, mentally early on last month and the beginning of this month, and that's why we saw more Grubauer. But is more time away from the ice going to be a good thing for him mentally?
I mean, if he's injured, then I think, yeah, because he definitely needs a break. And if it's, you know, I think he's okay. I mean, we saw that he needed a bit of a break, and then when he came back, he certainly was playing better.
Yeah, and I mean, they weren't worried enough to have him sit for practice. He did practice earlier this morning. This is Thursday on the 22nd. So he is at least out there on the ice getting some exercise and kind of going through the drills as he normally would. So, I mean, that's a good sign as well.
Yeah, you know, I think there's – Grubauer's playing incredibly well, so I see no reason not to play him. So I'm not overly concerned right now.
Yeah, Grubauer has done well. And you know what? This may work out, like I said before, in the long run. The more Grubauer is – the more that Grubauer is playing – the better his game's going to be later on down the road. Now, who knows, like we said last week, who knows what's going to happen after this season. But as far as looking at the Stanley Cup playoffs, having two number one goaltenders, both who have some experience with games, especially this close to the Stanley Cup playoffs, that is not a bad thing to have right now.
No, it's definitely not, especially if you have one that is, you know, that has a possibility of getting injured. So I have zero problems whatsoever if he, you know, playing both of these guys and giving Grubauer more games, if it not only because you know that he's the guy that you can put in the playoffs, but his trade value is going up and up and up.
Do you think we'll see Phoenix Copley in goal at all in the next week?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so because they're still fighting for that first spot in the division. So I see no reason whatsoever to play him unless you're worried about Grubauer getting hurt and you don't think Holtby's going to be back in time for the playoffs.
Now, if it was...
Otherwise, it's just precaution having him there.
Right. If we're talking maybe in like a week or two when there are back-to-back games on Sunday, April 1st and Monday, April 2nd, Pittsburgh and St. Louis, and Holpe's out, then maybe we would see Phoenix Copley play one of those games since they are back-to-back. But given that they do have a couple days in between games, it looks like, you know, you play a game, you're off, you play a game, you're off, you play a game, you're off, and so on and so forth. I don't think we'll see Phoenix Copley. Maybe if this was last year or the year before.
We'll see him on the bench.
Right, but like if this was last year or the year before that, the Caps had already clinched the division and the conference and everything, then yes, maybe we would see Phoenix Copley. But they're still fighting for their spot right now, so I don't think we're going to see him. Now, also, we got to talk about Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Again, he practiced earlier. He's still joking around with people on TJ Bobblehead Night, TJ Oshie Bobblehead Night.
With those god-awful jerseys.
Those slick, awesome-looking jerseys.
Nope.
But what do you think it means to not have him out there? We've seen like the lines kind of jumble up a little bit without him there. Nick Backstrom centering up, Lars Eller, Travis Boyd, Jay Beagle. Again, it seems like it's just precautionary, but what have you thought about the team without Yevgeny Kuznetsov on the ice?
Well, they have strong players down the middle. I mean, you definitely need that to be able to play in this league, but I'd be worried going into the playoffs having the roster without a guy like Kuznetsov. Like, you need his goal scoring. You need someone that can jump in if Backstrom is struggling, that can jump on the top line or make things happen on the second line. So it's nice to have, but you know, it's been nice in the regular season to have the four starting centers being there and being strong. But I'm, you know, it's a concern if he's going to miss any games.
It's definitely a concern, but I think that's why they're kind of being very cautious right now. I think this really is just – he probably could have played tonight, but given the fact that you are so close to the Stanley Cup playoffs, you do want to kind of be like, all right, you know, let Travis Boyd can play. We can move Lars Eller up. And, I mean, I'm not trying to put any of these teams down, but if you kind of look forward – you have Detroit tonight, you've got the Rangers, you've got Carolina, and where does let me see where Montreal is right now. You have Detroit, Montreal, New York, Carolina in the next week. None of these teams right now are in the playoffs. So really, you have a couple that are in the hunt. Carolina and New York are in the hunt, but they trail by like 9 and 10 points. So the chances of them making it, not the greatest. So, I mean, if one of your stars is going to get hurt, I mean, this is kind of the stretch right here where you'd want that to happen because they're going up against a lot of teams that really don't have a lot to play for.
Well, yeah, though they're playing Detroit right now in the third period and haven't scored a goal. So, you know, you're kind of like, it's a little, not really sure what you want to do with the team right now. I think ideally, you win the division maybe a week ago, you rest guys a little bit, and then you play them the last couple of games gearing up for the playoffs, so everybody's sort of firing on all cylinders when you go into the games that really matter.
Now, like you said, we're in the middle of the Detroit game right now. It's in the third, and the score is 0-0. That is definitely a concern, and has been a concern this entire season, that this team doesn't know how to score. Howard is in net. You know, he's a solid goaltender for Detroit, and they are down Mike Green, who is not going to finish the season with Detroit. He's going out for surgery. That's also kind of scary to think about, that this offense is not scoring against a team that has a lot of their key players missing. As you know, even though they do have a great goaltender, still it's very concerning that you don't see Ovechkin and Backstrom and Burakovsky and Oshie and Varana and any of these guys lighten the lamp.
I do kind of wonder if they're sort of looking ahead a bit early.
See, that's a bad thing. This team does that a lot, and it never works out for them that way.
No, I would say it does not. So you'd hope that they'd wake up a little bit, and it could just be an off night. You know, we might be being a little overdramatic. It could just, you know, they may just be having an off night kind of thing, but, you know, you'd hope that they would be able to, you know, score a couple of goals against a Detroit team that's just struggling this season.
And, I mean, if you look at the last week or so, I said that they were going to lose to Dallas, but they had a very hard-fought victory against Dallas 4-3 on Tuesday night. They came up short on Sunday against Philadelphia, and then they had two back-to-back wins in New York against the Islanders. That's a little scary to see as well, because Philadelphia right now would be the team that the Capitals meet up with if the Stanley Cup playoffs happened and started today. To see how short they came up against Philadelphia on Sunday does leave some concern, the fact that this is a team that there's a good chance they see in the playoffs, and they did so poorly.
Well, I don't think you can compare them just to the one game that they played. Yes, that game was not good. Yeah. But
but look at this season right now. The Flyers lead the series against the Capitals 3-1. Back in October, when the season just had started, Philadelphia beat Washington 8-2. And then in January, the Caps lost 2-1 in OT. Then the Caps at the end of January were able to win 5-3, and now on March 18th, the Capitals lost 3-6. So there's a lot of, 8-2 and 6-3. That those are some really, lopsided games.
Yeah, a little bit. Not great. Not exactly what you'd want to have.
No, not at all. So I would rather. What do you think? Right now, it seems to be flip flopping a lot that it's Philadelphia or Columbus or New Jersey. Out of those three teams, is there one that you would rather the Caps face in the first round of the playoffs?
I guess New Jersey at this point wouldn't be so bad. I think. It doesn't matter at this point who you face. It's all going to be tough, and you're going to have to play your best hockey, or you're not going to win. Just somewhat obvious as that may be, it's the playoffs. Every team that gets in the playoffs is good. There's no easy games, no easy nights, and so you need to be prepared to go out there and pretty much put it all out there for as many games as possible if you really want to keep your season going.
Yeah, that would be nice. we do have to talk real quick about Mike Green, who is going to miss the rest of the season with Detroit. He's going out. Let me see if I can find this real quick. He's having surgery on his spine, which is very scary.
Sounds painful.
Right. Let's see. Green will undergo cervical spine surgery at 2017-2018 season. So, best of luck to Mike Green. Just the sound of it is a pretty scary surgery, because I think anytime somebody messes with your spine is
going to be
kind of hard to come back from that. But it's very interesting to think about the fact that at the trade deadline, you and I were talking about the potential of Mike Green coming back to the Caps. Maybe this is one of the reasons why he didn't go anywhere at the trade deadline. This was something, maybe a nagging injury that he had, and maybe a lot of people didn't want to bite on that.
Well, I think it was when we had Ryan Drury on, he was talking about how Green had an injury and teams got scared of that, and it kind of scared them away from potentially wanting to bring him in. And so it looks like Mr. Drury is onto something there. And that, hopefully Green feels better soon and is ready for next season. I think his contract is, he's a free agent after this season. So this is, it's going to be a big season for him, and we'll see where he ends up.
Now, it's very scary to think about. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com wrote about this in their article about Mike Green undergoing spine surgery. Said, early this season, Vancouver's Derek Dorsett retired after his recovery from cervical spine surgery left him unable to play.
That's a problem.
That's very scary. Mike Green, how many great stories do the Capitals have of Mike Green on this team? And to think he's going in for a surgery that ended someone else's career – that's really scary to think about. He's a young guy. He's the same age as me. He's 32. And to think that you might have to retire after a surgery like that, that's terrible.
I think that is sort of the reality of professional sports, and that, at any point your career could suddenly, in that sport be over just because of a freak injury or something crazy that happened. We've seen it before with promising careers that get cut short because of injuries, or we've seen that, not that he's gotten cut short per se, but at 32, you got to imagine he still should have a number of years left, but you know, we'll see what happens after the surgery and if he's able to come back and if a team takes a chance on him in the offseason.
Now, a Caps player that's also a defenseman, that's an unrestricted free agent coming up on this offseason, is John Carlson. And a lot of people are speculating that the Caps aren't going to be able to handle his contract and that...
Yeah, there's word that he's up... Well, so there's that. The fact that he's going to be... I totally forgot what word I was going to use there. There's... thought that the Caps are going to have trouble re-signing Carlson. There's some talk that Carlson actually is kind of upset after it looked like the team wanted to deal him for Ottawa's Erik Karlsson. And then...
He got a little offended.
I mean, you know, if you're him and you're like, well, hey, that's not cool. Maybe I wanted to play with that guy. Why would you get rid of me? But then I remember reading something, I think it was Sportsnet, but I'm not sure. They were saying last night after the general manager's meetings that the salary cap may go up as high as $80 million, the ceiling, which could potentially free up the caps. I mean, it's I believe this season's at 75, and it could go up to like 77 to $80 million, which is a ton of money. And then if you, for the love of God, find a way to get rid of Orpik's contract, then you've got even more space. So I do think they're going to have the cap space to re-sign John Carlson. You know, it's going to be a little tricky, and I think a couple of guys may be, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to be moved out per se, besides maybe Brooks Orpik, but I'm not going to go to Cap Friendly, which I spelled wrong. Cap Friendly, that's not the right website. The Caps are going to have, cap space, that's a bit repetitive. They're going to have cap space to make things happen. The question is what? They're going to have to, you know, do something about Grubauer. He's a restricted free agent. You got Kempney, Yerebek, Carlson, as we already talked about, Boyd, Smith-Pelly, Chase. I think Chase Hunt's gone. Beagle and Wilson, you have to sign a new deal. And, oh, yeah, after next season, Andre Burakovsky is looking for a new deal, as is Chandler Stephenson, Jakub Vrána, Brett Connolly. I think Connolly's maybe gone. And Christian Juice will need a new deal. So they've got some – and then actually – Brandon, after 2019-2020, they got to re-sign Braden Holtby. Well, I mean, they could. Oh, we have a goal, Brandon.
Oh, all right.
I looked down at the last minute, but if it was Connolly after I just made that comment about him, that is, oh, crap. I think it is Connolly. No, I mean, that's not bad. It's bad for me because I look like an idiot, but I do that most nights when we do this, so that's okay. Oh, it was two on it. Wow, nice shot, dude. That was perfect. It was him and Vrána, 2-on-0. Connolly could have made a pass for Vrána to score. Connolly said, nah, I got this.
Nah, Vrána, you don't score anymore. That's your thing.
Glove side over Jimmy Howard. That was a pretty goal.
Nice. So
we need to see some more of that from Brett Connolly. He's got 15 goals this season. Not bad, not bad. He's got a manly-looking beard.
We'll do.
So we'll see what happens. Well, he's got another year at $1.5 million, but I do think I can play with the little armchair GM thing and find a way to re-sign Carlson, even with Orpik. I'm sure it's possible. The question is, you know, you got to re-sign a bunch of other guys like Beagle, Wilson. Wilson's got a cap hit of $2 million right now, so he's probably going to want a bit of a bump up.
He's going to want at least four.
Although he's got to stop taking stupid freaking penalties. And then my guess is they re-sign one of – or at least potentially make a move to re-sign one of Kempney or Yerebek. Because you're looking at Niskanen, Orpik, Orlov, you have, if you lose Carlson, and you have Juice. So of the defensemen right now on the roster, you have four that are under contract next season. If you re-sign Carlson, then you need either one of Yerebek or Kempney, would be my guess. Don't forget, you still have Madison Bowie, who, yes, struggled this season, but he'll have some more experience, another offseason under his belt. And then are you looking at also giving some ice time to a young guy like Lucas Johansson, Johansson, whatever his name is. Or how you pronounce it. There's so many guys with the same spelling of their last name, and they pronounce it completely differently. It's not fair. Okay, we need to have a common name. It's very easy. Everyone's last name should be Smith. I'm being dumb. As well as a bunch of other guys. And then they just signed this other kid, defenseman Tobias Geiser, their 2017 fourth-round pick. He played this past season in the National League in Switzerland. Forget this name. The team's name is Evie Zug. I want a t-shirt or a jersey because it says Zug. That's funny to me.
I get their jersey. Sure. Why not?
That'd be cool. I don't know what it looks like, but it's got a funny name. He also represented Switzerland at the World Juniors, and he was named one of the top three players on the Swiss team during the tournament. So the Caps may have something here.
Yeah, I remember having a good tournament in the World Juniors, so that's really good to hear.
Got a cool name.
It's interesting you brought up Braden Holtby, though. I do want to go back to Carlson, but it's – neither of us know what's going to happen. There's no crystal ball here on What the Puck. But with Braden Holtby's recent struggles, hypothetically, let's just say, you know, those struggles kind of become worse and worse.
They're not going to trade him.
No, they're not going to trade him, but you do have a guy over in Russia who's the number one prospect, as Ryan Drury told us,
it
in
sounds
all
like
of the world.
Sign.
Right. And you have this guy, Samsonov, who potentially could give Braden Holtby a run for his money in 5 or 3, whatever it is. Was it 3 years, 2 years, something like that? If you're the top prospect in the world, you're going to get management kind of going like,
Well, Holtby's got 2 more years after this season. So does he understudy? Doesn't it work? Does he back up Holtby for 2 years? I don't know. And the thing is, if Holtby's struggling, is another team going to take on that $6.1 million cap it? If you want to move him out, and that's a big if.
That's a very big
if. So it's, you know, they're going to have some decisions to make in terms of, is this kid going to be willing to be the backup for a while, or do they split time and go 50-50?
Right. Yeah. Will What the Puck still be on the internet in 2 years? Who knows?
I mean,
will we be on Sirius satellite radio? No.
That'd be cool. I don't anticipate it, but that'd be cool.
Yeah. All right. So going back to Carlson, though. Carlson. He's had a great season this year. He really has. And if he is offended with the whole trading thing, like you brought up, to bring in Erik Karlsson, he may not want to take that home team discount that potentially they had worked in there. And if another team comes knocking at free agency and goes, look, you're one of the
they
best
will.
Defensemen out there, we'll give you $8 million to come to our team. John Carlson's not going to turn that down. He's got kids. He's got tuition to pay for. It could potentially be his last season as a Capital, and that's scary to think about, and that really sucks. I'm a big John Carlson fan. But if somebody comes knocking on the door with an $8 million check, he's going to answer that door and go there.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yes, it would.
That would be not good. I mean, they already – I mean, looking at this team, first you lose Carl Alsner. If you lose John Carlson, I mean, you're losing a part of what the team was at one point when it was, you know, the Rock the Red era to some extent. But Niskanen's definitely your number one, but he's 31 right now. He's, you know, not, sounds dumb to say, but he's not getting any younger. You still have a couple more years. You got 3 more years after the season with him. You got 1 more year of Orpik, who's already 37. You got Orlov at 26 and Juice is 23. But – I feel like it makes the most sense. Carlson's likely – he's your best or second-best defenseman. Now, the question is, what is the numbers he's going to want? He's going to probably get more than Orlov at 5.1. My guess, he's getting somewhere around 6.
He deserves 6.5. That. He deserves more than Orlov. He does.
That's a lot of money.
He's a better defenseman than Orlov.
It's a tough move. If you lose Carlson, you have to go out and sign somebody big in the offseason, because your top four next season cannot be Niskanen or – and this is in no particular order. I'm just merely reading it based off their cap hit. Niskanen, Orpik, Orlov, and Juice. That can't be your top four. Orpik should not be playing top – he shouldn't be playing top 6 minutes. And, you know, Juice really – he's played well for a decent part of the season, but there's a reason that they felt they had to go out and get two guys from Montreal and Chicago.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to cost him, flat out. It's going to cost them a lot to keep John Carlson. But with the way,
look at it this way, right? So let's say Carlson essentially is at $4 million a year. He's at 3.966667. So let's just say 4 because the math there is easier. Let's say the cap goes up by $5 million. So of your now extra cap space that you had. You're taking up, you know, of that 5, you're taking up 3 or 2 to re-sign Carlson at 6, let's say $6 million. Okay. So you got 3 extra million in cap space now, but you're going to move out Grubauer and Samsonov or Copley will be less. So you saved a little bit of money there. You're potentially not bringing back Shea Song. He didn't have a lot of money. You have to resign Wilson, so that's going to cost a bit. That might be $4 million a year. So your $2 million that you just had is now gone. You have to resign Beagle, get resign a couple other guys. You got to get rid of freaking Orpik.
You must have been so happy since he didn't play the other night.
Well, yeah, then they lost. I was like, oh, that didn't really help my argument. Crap. Stupid players didn't help me out and make sound better. Maybe look like jackass. I thought he scored right there. That was weird. That's twice in this game that I have thought something happened, and it was merely like the net got bumped, and so it looked like the puck hit the back. And I was like, yeah, oh. I got freaked out. That's mean. So, yeah, they got a lot of money thrown out to guys. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, man, because Kuznetsov had a little bit more money. So they're going to have a lot of work to do in the offseason. Losing John Carlson is going to be a big old problem because he's only 28. You sign him to a 4-year deal, 5-year deal at 33. That's still not bad. Provided he stays healthy, knock on wood. That's still not bad if his cap hits $6 million. Then maybe you let him go or you sign him to a cheaper one when he's 33, 34, something like that. But at 28, he's getting right into the prime. He started the prime of his career. There's no reason to let this guy go. You drafted him. He's come up through your system, or at least the franchise. Keep him around.
I think he's going to want more than $6 million. I think he's going to want closer to the $8 million price
tag.
What
the? No.
That's what he's going to want.
Well,
whether or not he gets it's another story.
I pay him $8 freaking million.
I think there's some buyers out there that are going to do that for $8 million. But
$8 million? Are you nuts? Hold on. How do I on this website find out? Hold on. I want to see who the big free agents are coming up in this offseason. Crap. Carlson's number one. Damn it. that didn't work, guys. Matt Dumba, he's got a funny name. He's only 23. Oh, he's restricted. Hold on. Switch that. Unrestricted. Doesn't matter. Cool. John Carlson, then, and this is all, organize it based on points. Carlson, Green, Zdeno Chara, all right, so we're not off to a great start in terms of replacements because they're all old in hockey terms because I'm actually older than Mike Green. That doesn't help my argument. Dan Hamhuis is 35. Thomas Hickey, 29. I mean, you look at the point totals, Carlson's at 61. The next closest guy is Mike Green, who's only at 33. He might make a point. Carlson might make a buttload of money this offseason.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to pronounce that guy's name in Edmonton. I just looked at A-U-V-I-T-U. Ovitu. It's a cool name.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool name. Cool name, bro. Is everybody – oh, Time on Ice. That's what I want to see. That's still not great. Yeah. It looks like Carlson might be the number one guy if they don't sign him. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to think that John Carlson might be leaving, but, I mean, you also have to look at this. He's probably looking at Dmitry Orlov, TJ Oshie, and Evgeny Kuznetsov and going, those guys got paid. I want to get paid, yeah, too.
Me too. I like money. maybe the Caps go into the offseason and let him go and make a trade like they try to do for someone like Erik Karlsson again. It could be a situation where they're like, you know what, this isn't working with the guys we have now, so we're going to shake up the roster a little bit and go after someone big. And we've seen that McClellan has no problem going after big names.
No, he
made
does not.
Made the move for Oshie. He signed Niskanen and Orpik when they were two of the bigger names in the offseason regarding free agency. McClellan hasn't been shy. He hasn't shied away from making any of the big moves. But the cap situation is going to be interesting in terms of how he's going to pull that off. Right now, the Capitals are scheduled to, as of this moment in time, they have their projected cap hit is $63 million, but they only have 15 players signed to deals. So just a heads up, that's not enough players. They're going to need a couple more. So, you can carry – you have to carry up to like 20 because you're looking at 12 forwards, six defensemen, and two goalies. So you got to carry at least 20. Most teams will carry between 20, obviously, and 23. Currently, they're carrying 24. But you'll have, if the cap stays at 75, you only have a little under 12 million to get five more guys on the roster. And then, yeah, 11.9. And then if it goes up five more, you'd have 16 million. But is that enough money to be able to go out and sign Carlson? If Carlson wants 8 million a year and you give that to him, that your 11 million is now 3. And you still need to sign four more dudes.
Yeah, this could get awkward.
The offseason's going to be real. Gonna get out from under Orpik's freaking contract. Or beg Carlson to take like $2 million a year.
Ah, oh, man. Well, anything else we got to talk about in Caps World? Because this is just depressing.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. Anything can happen. The team can certainly find ways. We'll see what happens in terms of the cap, whether it's going to end up or how much. You know, team did well in the past week. Got a nice went 3-1. Got the home-and-home win over the Islanders. Won over Dallas. We talked about they're winning right now in Detroit. Devontae Smith-Pelly is chewing on a mouth guard.
How many more games do they have to before they clinch a spot? Do you know? They're at 91 points now, I believe.
They're 2 points up on Pittsburgh, but they have a game in hand. So if this one ends the way it is currently... Oh, I thought Detroit just scored. That was scary. If this one ends as it currently is, it'll be 4 points. I don't know. I suck at math. I'm going to say... Well, the easiest way to look at it is Pittsburgh has how many games left? Six? They can get up.
Have 8 games remaining.
Cap so they can get up to 100. Yeah. So they can get a total of 16 points. So they can get up to 105 if they won the remaining games, right? So the Caps have to be able to. What was that? 14 points. They have to win 7 more if they want to clinch. If Pittsburgh wins out, including tonight's game. So, like, I guess every loss by Pittsburgh is a game the Caps don't have to win. I'm glad we're being scientific tonight, yeah, Brandon.
This is too much.
I'll just wait until someone else puts it on Twitter. That's the easy way to do it.
Ooh, here, I just saw this on Reddit. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can get this. What is our magic number for clinching a playoff spot and also clinching the number one seed in the Metro?
Wait. I was talking about number one seed in the Metro, not playoff spot. All right, I'm not even trying to do the other one. I feel like that's too confusing.
All right, so let me see if I got this right. Okay, hold on. Let me read this.
Florida's only played 71 games. That's not a problem.
So
they still have 11 games left.
All right, let me look at this. So this Reddit user, MDKSS12, says, the magic number for playoffs will be a 10-point swing over New Jersey, technically 9 if we were to maintain the ROW tiebreaker. The 3 teams battling for 2 spots, and therefore that determine our playoff status, are Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Florida. We need to get more points than the lowest of those teams' highest possible total. So that means Caps need 101 and have 91. So there's how you get to 10. 9 with a tiebreaker for the division. Pittsburgh is currently the deciding.
My head already hurts.
I know. Pittsburgh is currently the deciding factor. Caps need 106, so they need 15 points or 14 with a tiebreaker. You can also So to clinch a playoff spot, they need 101. To clinch the division, they need 106 points. So there you go.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, all right. So I think that's what math has done. Dan and I both went to college, and it doesn't show.
I ain't studying math.
All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. We are going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Bridgeport and Springfield. I feel like that's the first time in a while that they've actually come out of a week with a winning record. The Bears are currently 7th in the Atlantic Division, and there's with a record of 27-30-9. Now, if you want to go check out a game, they'll be back at it with a home-and-home on Friday in Hartford, followed up by Sunday's game at the Giants Center. Then they play next Wednesday against Bridgeport. Now, another Bears news, U.S. Olympian Chris Bork was suspended for 3 games for an illegal hit from behind during this past Saturday's game against Springfield.
How dare you?
That's not very nice, Mr. Bork.
Not cool.
Not cool, bro. So he had to go and sit out for, I think he got to play in their next game, and then he got suspended for 3 games. Which is a little weird, but welcome to the AHL. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-2 with wins over Atlanta and Orlando. The Stingrays are currently 2nd in the South Division with a record of 41-15-7. They'll be back at it with games in Orlando on Friday and Sunday, and then a game on Tuesday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Kalamazoo. In other Stingrays news, the win against Orlando was the franchise's 1,000th win.
Nice.
Congratulations to them. That is pretty cool. That's what's going on down on the farm.
So I'm reading up on this 1,000th.
I couldn't say the word last time we had to say 1,000 on here, and now it's your turn.
I know. So the Stingrays became just the 2nd ECHL franchise to get 1,000 wins, with the first being the Wheeling Nailers. So that's
you know who their affiliate is? They're the affiliate of?
Who?
The Penguins.
Ew. But that came from CapitalsOutsider.com that you used to do a little bit of stuff for. But that's pretty cool that they're only the 2nd ECHL team franchise to ever do that. So that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
All right, well, cool. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. The regular season is wrapping up again. We are in single digits for games left. Get in those hockey games. Watch as much as you can. Coach Dan, who's been suspended? What's going on? What is going on around the NHL?
Why do you always go to suspension for? No one got suspended this week, man.
Maybe they should have.
Well, I mean, there's always possibility. But let's start in Tampa, where Steven Stamkos got fined $5,000 for his trip on Toronto's Morgan Riley. And tonight there was a pretty funny moment, and one that Carolina goalie Cam Ward will like to forget.
Oh, this is so bad.
He had a goal scored on him. By himself.
Oh.
So the puck, apparently, I didn't see it. I heard about it. I read about it. The puck got stuck in his skates, I believe.
So
he was looking to find it, his skate went in the goal. So that's pretty bad.
So it looked like he went to go stop the puck behind the net. And it looks like when he skated out that way, it got stuck in his skate. And I guess he thought he just missed it. So he's like, I don't know
where to go.
I don't know where the puck is. I just need to get back in the net because somebody's got it. And he backs up into his net.
Somebody had it. He had it.
Like, how embarrassing. Like, the ref had to come over and be like, oh, it's stuck in your skate, eh? What's going on here?
Hey, bro, you have it.
And, oh, man, that's just, his teammates are just making fun of him.
Oh, I imagine that is definitely the case.
Oh, God. The poor guy.
Whatever. It was funny. Final little bit of sad news we have here is our condolences have to go out to Ottawa Senators defenseman Erik Karlsson, as he and his wife lost their son, who ended up being born, stillborn. So that is, I don't have kids myself, but I have to imagine that is a horrible thing to have happen. Definitely our sympathies are with him and his wife right now.
Yeah, absolutely terrible, terrible thing to happen to Erik Karlsson and his wife and his family. And God, there's no way to say it. It's just absolutely terrible. And this goes beyond hockey. This goes beyond teams. It goes beyond everything. These are humans. And, he's a player and he's on the ice and he gets to live his dream out, for a living. But man, it just, that has to be just the hardest thing to go home to. So definitely our condolences are out to Eric and his wife. That's just absolutely just terrible news.
Yes. I mean, that's, I don't know if there's any other way to put it. Just that sucks, you know? So yeah, our sympathies are definitely to the Carlson family. But yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can't. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I'm busy. I've got stuff to do.
Stuff and things.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm doing stuff and things. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of stuff and or things about the Washington Capitals. I'm not on there as much as I used to be. I need to I try to get back to it, then people yell at me for being on my phone. talking about the Capitals and Arsenal, and baseball's coming around the corner, so I might do some tweeting about that every once in a while. And maybe I'll start following the Redskins again. Probably not. Maybe the Bills or something else, or other sort of European football teams as
you
well.
You should watch wrestling. Wrestling's fun.
I used to watch it when I was in high school, and I just stopped.
Do it.
Nah, I'm good. I got too much other stuff to do right now.
Come on, it's only on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights and Friday nights and Saturdays. Come on.
But that's it?
That's it.
All right, never mind. All right, I'll get back into it. Since it's like barely on, it's going to be easy to just get back into it, I guess. It's only on every freaking night. But yeah, that's on Twitter at WTP Coach. And hey, if you enjoy the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Find out when we have new shows coming out, as well as other interesting things regarding the Capitals and their affiliates. I believe Brandon, you posted something about the 1,000th. There we go. We said the word right. Win.
That's right. Yeah.
For South Carolina, as well as some other fun and interesting news. Congratulations are out. We forgot to Jason Chimera playing in his 1,100 game the other day. So that's pretty cool for the guy. Hey, Caps win 1-0 in Detroit.
Chimera looks Grubauer. Weird. Looks weird in Anaheim colors. He really does.
He does look weird in that orange, right?
Yeah.
Grubauer got a 6th. Oh, the stat went away. Oh. Get this. With the loss tonight, Detroit has been eliminated from the playoffs. Second consecutive season that the Red Wings are not going to be going after Lord Stanley's Cup. That probably won't sit well in Detroit.
No.
But somehow that was facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brandon Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter as well, at WhatThePuckPod. And like Coach Dan said, whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. You are currently listening to the 199th show of What the Puck.
Yeah!
So if you don't know where to go yet to figure out when this show comes out, something's wrong with you out there, unless you're a new listener.
That's a good way to get them to keep listening.
Yeah, exactly. Just to yell at them.
How dare you not know where to find these things?
Right. But anyway, so 199, next episode is going to be episode 200. Ovi's got 600 goals. What the Puck has 200 shows. So
we're catching up.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there, but it's been fun. we do this show for free. We've done it 199 times for free, and it is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Be social with the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, Here's the games coming up. On Saturday, March 24th, the Capitals go north of the border up to Montreal, the Bell Center, up against the Montreal Canadiens. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington locally here or on the NHL Network in the U.S. And then the Capitals make a stop in Manhattan, take a bite out of the Big Apple up against the New York Rangers, and you can watch that nationally on NBC Sports. And then on Wednesday, March 28th, the Capitals are back at home in D.C. They bring the Rangers with them. They're gonna share a flight together. And that game is at 8 o'clock, and that's also a nationally televised game, and you can watch that one on NBC Sports. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. We will be back next week. Maybe a little bit of an abbreviated show. We'll see what goes on, but expect a new show out around the 29th. All right, so that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening, everybody. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.